The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Wednesday, March 17th. What to know about severe storms that could impact tens of millions of Americans, and where forecasters are especially telling people to get ready. Also, what a newly declassified report says about other countries getting involved in U.S. elections. Plus, when young children, including babies, might expect to get COVID-19 vaccines. How long the mastermind behind a celebrity Twitter hack will spend in prison. And which country is testing out a four-day work week. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Tens of millions of Americans are in the path of dangerous storms today. In fact, the National Weather Service says this is going to be one of the most significant severe weather events we've seen so far this year. People in the southeast and southern plains could see heavy rain, strong winds, hail, and even powerful tornadoes. Cities with the highest risk include Memphis, Tennessee, Little Rock, Arkansas, Birmingham, Alabama, and Jackson, Mississippi. There could be some strong storms during the day, but the highest risk of tornadoes is after dark, which makes them even more dangerous since they're not as easy to see. It's also possible the worst of the storms hit overnight when people are asleep and might miss some of the warnings to take shelter. That's why meteorologists and emergency management officials say, prepare now. They say, for those in the path of the storm, make sure you have warnings set up on all your devices and a plan to get somewhere safe in a hurry. Alabama's governor issued a state of emergency already, which frees up state resources to respond right away if needed. Tomorrow, the severe weather threat is expected to move into Georgia and the Carolinas. Stay tuned. We've heard it before, and now new intelligence confirms. The leaders of Russia and Iran were behind complex campaigns working to influence American voters in the 2020 presidential election. A new report came out this week, and the New York Times calls it the most comprehensive intelligence assessment yet of foreign efforts to influence the election. It says Russian President Vladimir Putin gave the thumbs up for missions to hurt President Biden's candidacy last year and boost former President Trump. For example, there was apparently a covert operation to influence people close to Trump who were spreading damaging information about Biden and his family. But Russia wasn't the only country trying to meddle. Intelligence officials also say Iran came up with a digital scheme in the hopes of getting anyone in the White House besides Trump. And the report found both Russia and Iran spread false claims about U.S. voting systems in hopes of Americans losing confidence in how the elections process works. And there's also China. Intelligence officials say China thought about its own efforts to sway the U.S. election as well, but ultimately decided against it since officials felt it might backfire. All of that said, this new report found no countries actually tried to hack voting systems or change ballots this time around like they attempted to do back in 2016. And by the way, even though this report was just now declassified, the work was actually done during the Trump administration. Still, the threat is apparently not over. American intelligence officials say they expect foreign governments to keep trying to meddle in U.S. elections in the years to come. Today, the new Homeland Security Secretary is expected to face tough questions from lawmakers on Capitol Hill. The reason? Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said he's expecting more migrants at the southern border this year than at any other time in the last 20 years. So members of Congress now want to know about, one, the policies for the U.S.-Mexico border, and two, how migrant children have been treated in the government's care. Mayorkas said the migrant surge, including thousands of children arriving without any adults, is difficult, and it will not be solved overnight. But he says the government is working around the clock to manage the problem. Republicans, though, have been criticizing the White House for rolling back some of Trump's strict border policies. They say by doing that, the Biden administration is just enticing migrants to cross the border illegally. But the DHS secretary says that's not the real problem. He argues it's really about poverty, violence, and corruption in Central America that makes people want to leave their home countries and head to the U.S. for new lives. President Biden also addressed this issue on ABC News. He told migrants once again to not come to the U.S. right now. Because of COVID-19 protocols, single adults and families are being turned away at the border. Children are allowed to stay, at least temporarily, but their future here is still uncertain. Young children have now gotten their first doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccine maker Moderna started a trial that includes children as young as 6 months old. First, researchers will test out different sized doses of the vaccine to see what kids can tolerate. Then, just like they did with the grown-ups, researchers will give some kids two shots 28 days apart, and children in another group will get two dummy shots or placebos. Then they'll compare the results to see if the kids who got the real doses were any less likely to get a serious case of COVID-19. In the last few months, both Moderna and Pfizer have started testing their vaccines on older children, ages 12 to 16. But this recent trial is the first one to include younger kids. If all goes well, federal officials say teenagers and preteens will likely be able to get the vaccines this fall. Then elementary school-aged children will likely be eligible in early 2022. Health authorities are hoping by vaccinating children, it will protect their health and also protect adults who are even more likely to get severe illness from COVID-19. But of course, that's only if the shots are proven to be safe and effective in kids. So Moderna is enrolling thousands of healthy children in its study right now. All right, we have more news coming up. But first, this episode is brought to you by Fitbod. There's no better feeling than finding your stride in your workout. And I'm definitely someone who needs someone else to tell me what to do to really get going and have a better, more efficient workout. Well, Fitbod makes it easy to find exercises at the right pace and intensity for you so you can get the results that you want. Yes, Fitbod builds a fitness program that continually adapts to you. And right now, you can get 25% off a Fitbod membership. It's easy for me to get bored of the same workout routine over and over again, so I really like that Fitbod helps keep things fresh. And the workouts are balanced to avoid overworking muscles. There's also the issue of budget, because personalized training can be pretty expensive. But Fitbod is only $9.99 a month or $59.99 a year. So build the momentum to carry your fitness journey through the rest of the year with Fitbod. And get 25% off a membership when you sign up now at fitbod.me/newsworthy. That's 25% off your membership at fitbod.me/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. So remember last summer's massive Twitter hack? Hackers were able to take over the accounts of some of the world's most famous people and companies, including Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Kanye West, former President Barack Obama, and dozens of others. Well, an 18-year-old is now going to prison for it. Prosecutors said Graham Ivan Clark was the mastermind behind the hacking. He pleaded guilty and was sentenced this week to 3 years in prison. And it's not just for the hack itself. You may remember, once Clark and others hacked into the accounts, they then used them to push a known Bitcoin scam. The tweets told people to send the digital currency Bitcoin to a specific address and that any amount sent would be doubled and sent back. Unfortunately, hundreds of people fell for it, and altogether they lost nearly $120,000. So Clark is set to spend the next 3 years in prison, followed by 3 years of probation. And during that time, he will not be able to use any electronics without law enforcement permission. The so-called serial stowaway is apparently at it again. Marilyn Hartman has been able to sneak onto dozens of flights without a ticket over the last couple of decades. And she was just busted once again at Chicago's O'Hare Airport. This time, police were able to track her, and she wasn't able to get on a flight. Authorities gave her an electronic ankle bracelet the last time she was arrested. It alerts law enforcement if she goes beyond a certain point, and that happened yesterday. Hartman says she lost track of how many times she's been able to get onto planes, but she estimates she's taken at least 30 flights over nearly 20 years without paying for a ticket. She's flown all over the country and to international destinations, too, like Paris, London, and Copenhagen. Hartman has been arrested several times over the years, but so far she's only been given probation or mental health counseling. This time, though, she could be going to jail. Air travel is at its highest level since the beginning of the pandemic. For 5 straight days now, more than 1 million people have passed through TSA checkpoints each day. Of course, spring break has something to do with it, but the trend doesn't look to be slowing down as people are making summer plans as well. Delta, United, and American Airlines all say they've seen a surge in bookings over the past few weeks. Of course, this is some of the best news the travel industry has seen in more than a year. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics says airlines carried 60% fewer passengers in 2020 than they did in 2019. And major U.S. airlines lost about $35 billion. Well, now United and Delta say this month they could start making money again. Airline stocks are going up, too. But all of that said, there's reason to stay cautious. For now, the CDC is still discouraging people from traveling unless it's absolutely necessary. And that includes people who are fully vaccinated until the new numbers of COVID-19 go down a bit more. Today is St. Patrick's Day, so that means it's time to celebrate Irish culture. Usually it's marked by parades, music, dancing, drinking, and a whole lot of green. But as you might have guessed, the pandemic means those plans are changing. Many parades have been canceled and events have been scaled back around the U.S. But some traditions are going strong. For example, Chicago once again dyed its river bright green. It started doing this back in the 1960s and continued every year, except last year since it did not want to draw crowds. On top of that, New York City's annual St. Patrick's Day parade will be held virtually this year. It will honor first responders and essential workers. Meanwhile, Boston has canceled its parade for the second year in a row, but the city's Irish Film Festival begins today, and that will run virtually through the weekend. It's worth noting, too, lots of restaurants like McDonald's, Cold Stone Creamery, Starbucks, and Dunkin' are serving up green food all over the country in honor of St. Patrick's Day. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Work Wednesday, when we break down one interesting career or work-related news story every Wednesday. But first, this episode of The Newsworthy is presented by America's leading beverage companies who are working together to reduce plastic waste in our environment. Not all plastic is the same. America's beverage companies are carefully designing 100% recyclable plastic bottles, including the caps. Their bottles are made to be remade, and they're investing in community recycling programs to help get more bottles back so they can be turned into material used to make new bottles. That completes the circle and reduces plastic waste. Please help get every bottle back. Learn more at everybottleback.org. Again, that's everybottleback.org. Okay, back to Work Wednesday. So today we're talking about how Spain could become one of the first countries in the world to try out a 4-day work week. It's going to experiment with having people put in 32 hours a week instead of the usual 40. And yes, their pay would stay the same. Spain's left-wing party proposed this idea. Its leaders are hoping to have around 200 companies take part at first, with as many as 6,000 workers, for about 3 years. But really, those details are still up for negotiation at this point. Supporters say this is actually going to make people more productive and improve workers' mental health. But some company leaders are skeptical, especially at a time when Spain is in a recession. One business association told the Spanish government getting out of this crisis will require more work, not less. Either way, it looks like Spain is going to at least test the idea to see how it pans out. The Spanish government is expected to invest 50 million euros, or 60 million U.S. dollars, for the companies who take part in the experiment to take away some of the risk. If it does work out, more companies might choose to reduce hours on their own, or more governments might mandate it. Stay tuned. All right, thank you so much for listening today and every day. We'll catch you up on more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.